Hello, fellow cobbler. How are you feeling? Another six-pointer has been and gone, and we're another step closer to discovering our destiny. As always, we've got shed loads of opinions to share with you, and there's also the small matter of the Nen Derby on Friday. Yay. Let's get stuck into this week's It's All Cobblers to Me.
Rain again. And he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3! Yeah!
It's welcome, bonjour, willkommen, salut to Danny Brothers, Neil Edgerton Scott and Jeffy Coleman. How are you guys? You okay?
Magical.
Wonderful. Ish.
Ish?
Yeah, I think I can just about show my face again in Bristol. I don't think they've taken too much offence to Alex Jones throwing himself on the floor.
Oh, we're disputing that penalty, are we?
Not at all. We need what we can get. Take what we can get.
We will come to the football shortly. But Neil, you found something rather delightful.
Oh, is it a goat that went loose in Watch It earlier?
Yeah, that did happen. It comes after the ostrich that went missing from the zoo last week as well. So we had a week long. It's like farm animals and zoo animals just on the loose in the town. But it's been caught and saved. God bless it. Both animals safe and well.
What's the weirdest animal that's gone missing in Watch It?
A raccoon, right? Caused
a raccoon?
Havoc. Hang on. A raccoon. Wait a minute.
Cyril Sneer.
It caused havoc like about 3 years ago because it was like running around all of the like little hamlets and villages where we live and they couldn't find it anywhere, literally anywhere. And then he turned up somewhere because he was hungry and then they located him. I think that's the most mysterious one. The snakes got out as well at one point as well.
I'll tell you though, raccoons are absolute pricks.
Well, it was a menace.
I got chased by one once.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it with you and animals, Neil? You seem to have proper run-ins with animals.
Careful.
No, he's right.
The hedgehog,
yeah. I'm still not happy about that. But a giraffe once very viciously licked me as well.
Oh, do you know what? I was about to say, that would have been great if that's how you died. It could be on your headstone. Or your obituary. Viciously licked to death by a giraffe.
I don't think on headstones you have how you died, though, do you?
We should do.
How does it get down that? Can they reach down that far, like, to the ground?
Pardon? A giraffe. Giraffe, right, yeah. Sorry. I wonder what you were talking about.
It was interestingly, actually, it was a baby giraffe.
Ah.
Aww.
It was very
cute.
What
are baby giraffes called?
Bee Gees.
Thank God you were staying alive then after that. Hey, first one for 10.
A baby giraffe is called a calf.
Oh. Is it? I should have known that, really. I mean, we don't have giraffes in Watch It, you know.
But you have raccoons.
You have giraffes in Watch It. Just picturing that on the sign on the way in. Watch It. No giraffes here.
Can we big up our local zoo? Because it is opening tomorrow, obviously. Because you know, outdoor places. But go on the zoos.
Come on the zoos.
Go on the zoos.
Cannot
get
wait.
Open. Get them out.
Well, talking of zoos, I watched Zootropolis at the weekend.
Oh, good film.
No. Isn't it? It's nonsense, isn't it?
Do you not enjoy the little gangsters? What are they? I can't think what the animal they are.
I can't either.
Like hamsters, aren't
which
they?
Would tell you how much I notice I took during said film.
Little gangster hamsters.
Do you want to hear a bit about what I've found?
I do want to hear a bit about what you found because this is so good.
So for those listening, obviously, when we sign in to Zencaster, which is where we record the podcast, we have to put our name in. Being the absolute larks that we are, we don't always use our real names. So I went with Raymond van Dulleman this week, which great player in his time. Led us down a bit of a wormhole where we've been Googling his name, found out, interestingly, he is a project manager now, doing well for himself.
What sort of projects does he manage? Do we know?
I don't know, because his LinkedIn profile is all in Dutch.
However,
he's based in The Hague, so he's obviously doing quite well for himself.
Hmm.
But also, I noticed while searching for Raymond van Dulleman's name, on the Google, it gave me a link to a blog called A Load of Cobblers. 2013, this post specifically was titled What Won't Happen in 2013. And I started reading the blog. I was chuckling away, really enjoying it. And then I noticed there was an About Me bit. Clicked on it. Guess whose blog it is?
Ray Van Dillerman's.
That would be incredible. No, it's yours, Danny.
Danny's blog. Oh,
look at that.
Yeah, there's some absolute gold in it.
Is there a Keith Curlout blog?
Well, it was before that time, I think.
Yeah, I think he does take a few sly digs at Boothroyd during it, so he's obviously got previous.
There is definitely in there, if you look hard enough, there's a Wilder Out blog in there somewhere, which is incredible.
Danny.
Dig.
There's some great stuff in it, Danny. Really, I was genuinely laughing when I was reading it, even before I knew it was your blog, which just enabled me to laugh that little bit more because I'm proud of you.
I think we should start a new weekly feature, which is Neil reads part of Danny's blog. Have you got a particular piece there that you chortled at beforehand, Neil?
Yes, numerous bits. So this is Danny's light-hearted look on what won't happen in 2013. So if I just say jump to June, shall we say, the Cobblers squad, this is Danny, imagine Danny saying this, obviously, I can't do Danny's voice, but the Cobblers squad take a well-earned break and then return for a pre-season tour of Sweden, where they come up against Helsingborgs, who have just assigned Sven-Goran Eriksson as manager. Sven makes a cheeky bid for Bayo after the game, but it's quickly rebuffed by Adrian Boothroyd, who instead offers him Tim Flowers on loan for the season. Back in England, Boothroyd gets to work in the transfer market and swoops for Nigerian midfielder Ayo Saka from Ocean Boys, forming an attacking trio of Bayo, Moyo and Ayo. A similar bid for Spaniard Ruben Royo fails. That was June. Incredible work. Absolutely incredible.
I'm loving that, Danny. Perfect penmanship.
There's a great bit in July as well, where pre-season continues on English soil with a trip to Kettering Town, who have relocated to Peterborough Greyhound track. not far wrong, actually. Halfway through the pre-season friendly, the rabbit used for the races is accidentally shot out of its trap and hits Ben Tozer as he lines up for one of his traditional throw-ins. Tozer is put on the shelf for 3 months, forcing Bayo to seriously worry about his goals tally for the coming campaign. Not to fear, Boothroyd panics and orders a reality TV show to be made to find the next big throw-in taker. Which I'd watch.
Yeah, get that on.
Absolutely.
I'd watch that, yeah.
Where does Sam Hoskins reach? What round?
I mean, this was 2013. Sam Hoskins was a mere boy.
Still in the Southampton Academy back then, I would imagine.
Well, Danny will know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very Danny convincing. Did know.
Do you know what, Danny? That's great. I think every week we should find another segment from your blog and read it.
I mean, I'm a bit concerned now.
Why?
There's some gold in there, mate.
There's one of those, it's going to be one of those things where we go through and we'll get people by the bucket load saying, start it back up, Danny. It's brilliant.
There's another great line here. The momentum is halted by a postponement at Notts County due to warthogs on the pitch.
Oh. There you go.
You could well have been talking about the team. I don't know.
Clearly had more time on my hands back then.
this is one of your jokey blogs. This is just a lighthearted joke one, isn't it? But actually in it, you've nailed a couple of things because you've said where special guest Neil Grayson is on commentary for Cobblers World. So you predicted
Cobblers World. Look at that. That wasn't that a thing, though. I'm sure
was
Cobblers
it a thing, was it?
Yeah, I'm sure Cobblers World was an actual thing.
Cobblers World was a thing
before Cobblers Player that then became iFollow, yeah.
Cobblers World. God, that's taking it back, isn't it?
I think that was the first iteration.
It was just when it was highlights and whatever, wasn't it?
Mm. Well, I found your Boothroyd out one.
Oh,
a Boothroyd out.
Yeah, the final straw as Boothroyd departs.
The final straw.
Shall we pass it on to the FA?
Yeah. Yes, please. I'm sure every argument there is as valid now as it was then.
I'd love it. Do you know what? Can we? I'll put a link to that one in the show notes.
Yeah,
and then you can go and read it. And if there is if it is relevant to now. That'd be brilliant. I'd absolutely love it. Shall we have a quick chat then about the actual Cobblers game? Mm. I know Neil's about to shout at me and go, no, let's not. I don't come on this podcast to talk about Cobblers.
I don't.
No, I know. I know you don't. People do tune in, though, to hear you talk about them, Neil.
That's a good point.
So I think we probably should. So obviously, one all draw in the latest and last of Danny's six-pointers for the season.
It's gone well, hasn't it?
Yeah. I should have done some prep before this and worked out how many points we'd gained from these six-pointers.
One, is it not?
It probably is.
Jeffrey. We've got one against Rochdale, don't we?
Two.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's two. Let's work it out. Swindon. We beat Wigan once, didn't we?
No, did we?
That was way before. You can't count that one.
Well, that's it. That's what I was going to say. Do you count the first game against Wigan as a six-pointer?
No, you count all the second ones.
Okay. Just the second ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so Wigan, loss. Wimbledon?
Loss.
Loss.
Yeah, Rochdale, we got a point.
Hey!
Yeah, Burton. Swindon? Burton, we lost.
We beat Swindon, didn't we?
No, we lost to Swindon. I thought we beat them as well.
We beat them first time, didn't we? Because Missaloo scored.
Jesus.
Yeah, so 2 points from all those six-pointers.
Didn't even get 6 points out of them all together, did we? Never am I going to call any game a six-pointer for the rest of my time.
You wonder why we're in trouble.
Just blame me.
We do regularly, Danny, in fairness. So overall then, Bristol Rovers game, 1-1. What did we make of it? Jeffy, what were your overriding thoughts at the end of the match?
Rational Jeffy kind of thought, do you know what? That's probably a fair assessment of two fairly woeful teams. However, I was disappointed that it took us that long to get out of the starting blocks, because Bristol Rovers, okay, they looked good on the break and they had a bit of pace going down one of the very horribly exposed wings. But generally speaking, they didn't give much more. And that's kind of been the pattern, isn't it? A lot of these teams haven't really shown much, but have got away with it because we've simply been significantly lacking clinically and just not able to do the business when we need to. Irrational Jeffy was really quite irritated by it, because I think for probably the first time, it's pretty obvious and certain that we're going to go down, because we can't pick up the points that we've need and we're reliant on other teams, which we know from years gone by is not the way to do it. But I don't necessarily think that this game is the game that will stand out. I think it's someone put on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, someone said January and February is where the damage was done. But I think because this one was almost like the last chance that we've not taken, it feels a bit raw, doesn't it?
There's loads of points there. The first one is we didn't turn up, did we, until we'd conceded. I completely agree with what you say about the fact that Rovers weren't particularly good, but they had, two kind of strong men up front that held the ball up relatively well. I mean, when I say relatively well, relatively in comparison to how we held the ball up, or I say we, I mean Ryan Emerson. And so therefore they were able to sort of, they were kind of able to do what you imagine Keith Curl wanted us to do, which was to always get the ball up the top end of the pitch and hold it there, and to then create chances around that. Problem was that they were just as bad as we were, but they spent the first 20 minutes actually playing the game in our half, didn't they?
Well, I think they on reflection are/were more desperate than us on paper at the beginning of the match. Ironically, the tide's turned completely because the results below both of us have gone completely haywire over the last couple of days, which doesn't make any sense anyway. But I also think that for Bristol Rovers, it was more important. And actually that's probably quite defining for us, because that's the kind of game you really need to win, is the game where others are going to turn up, and you know they're going to turn up. I don't think there was a lack of effort in particular. I just think that they just haven't quite got it. And they're short, but they're also short against teams that are around them, which isn't really a good sign.
I felt that they just wanted it far more than we do. by the looks of it. And I know that we're not allowed to really, not allowed to turn around and say that we didn't put any effort in. I agree with that. But, you know, I just feel like at the time watching it, especially the first 20 minutes, it just looked like Rovers were just wanting it 10 times more than we did at any point in those first 20 minutes. I mean, you can argue that, well, they got on the ball and they wouldn't let us have it. But if you want it, you go and get it, don't you, Danny?
Yeah, they were completely on top for the first little bit. And you've got to set your stall out in games like that. Like, whatever we think going into the game, if we're above the dotted line or not, or whatever's going on, we're still in a relegation battle, whatever happens. We all know, the players know what's to come, the five games to come that we've all talked about quite a lot, that we said if we don't win against Bristol Rovers, it's pretty much done, even though we're there and above the line. We needed them to come out and show some intent again, and this is just a word that I've been using all season. Like, there's no intent from us to go and press our game onto them. And it seems like, particularly in the Brady, actually, that he wants to kind of protect his players first, in terms of he's more worried about what the other team are doing than he is about what we're doing. Like, we need to be on the front foot in games like this and really take it to them, because as soon as we go behind, it's just an absolute slog for the rest of the game to get back into it. Like, there's no real pace up front to do proper damage with. There's nothing in midfield that's going to create something out of nowhere, apart from if the ball drops to Ryan Watson 20 yards out, and you can't just keep relying on that. You've got to, that we rely solely on graft and hard work, which we do well, but it's just not quite good enough. And when you kind of rely on that, you set up in games to almost set out to defend, because you're relying on your hard work and then something breaking and falling for you in the box. And it's not enough, sadly.
I think also as well, one thing that has probably played a smaller factor throughout the season, but I think it played quite a significant factor on Saturday, was the lack of crowds, which seems really bizarre to mention kind of five games before the end, when largely there was two games this season where there were crowds. There was a couple of really stray, ridiculous passes. And real, I'm not going to call it laziness, because I genuinely don't think it was laziness. I don't think they're a lazy group of players. I think they're hard workers. But I just think the decision making and wasn't there. And there was a couple of things. I can't even remember which players it was. And it's not fair to point them out, because they all have done it. But just there's a couple of occasions where, you know, they don't even pass to a player, and they've got acres of space to do it. And I think had there been a cobbler's crowd in there, they'd have been really on their backs, and we'd have been really on them after that. And I think that would have probably helped, because that would have encouraged and probably motivated them. And I think those games are where crowds probably would have really helped. But obviously we don't have that there, and that, and you know, everyone's in the same boat like that. I mean, you did have some wonderful Rovers fans on the hill, but other than that, there's no one there.
Yeah, and that's the sort of game that it would have been rocking, wouldn't it? Like, no matter what's happened in the last few weeks, you come to a game like that, and everyone knows that we needed 3 points, that Sixfields comes alive for, and it kind of sets the players out to with a little bit more oomph, and like, let's go and do something to them rather than let's wait for something to happen to us. And it has been the same all season. It's the same for every team, but I don't think there's any surprise that teams like Wimbledon and who else won it? Won quite big yesterday. Wimbledon won 4 something, didn't they? And Wigan won 5. And like, away from home, it's sometimes a little bit easier, because you're not expecting the fans to be there. And, you know, let's find. I don't think it's going to be the case on Friday by any shout. But I don't know. It's annoying and it's frustrating, but I don't think we can use it in any form of defence against it, because they need to have got to the point by now where they can cope with it.
The other point to that as well, that probably hasn't really come to the forefront yet, is that what we've got, we, and I talk as a collective in terms of the league, everyone's got what, 6, 7, maybe 8 at the absolute most games left. And we're in that situation where we're in a relegation battle, but it's not a desperate one, or it hasn't been up till now. So it's not been a desperate relegation battle. We're not absolutely, you know, miles behind in 24th, and we're not there. And what starts to happen at this point in the season is that teams that are absolutely desperate start flying out of the blocks and getting random results up against high flying teams because they've literally, one, got nothing to lose, and two, are saving sometimes their careers. And it's a case of, we have to win. Whereas we have teetered on the edge for so many weeks. It's like, well, if we don't win, we're still about there. We're just above the relegation zone. We can do it. Whereas I think if we were desperate, that could have been completely different.
I think so. I do get, I completely see what you mean. I mean, normally you get those results because of the fact that you're coming up against teams that don't really have anything left to play for. Whereas the relegation battled ones still do. So there's that whole thing. We go back to basically wanting it more, I think, is essentially where it comes from. However, I mean, Wigan beat Doncaster. Now, fair enough, Donny are pretty much in free fall. But they were going for the playoffs, and there's still a chance, an outside chance, that they could finish in them. And then Accrington as well are basically the same. I mean, actually, Doncaster and Accrington on exactly the same number of points, in 11th and 12th respectively. And, you know, but they are mid-table. So it's not like Wigan or Wimbledon were coming up against Sunderland or Hull or Portsmouth or Blackpool. I know Portsmouth did get beat by Burton, didn't they? But I mean, I just don't, I don't think that it's anything different as such to what we would see at the end of any normal season. With that, I think the problem that we've got is the fact that when you look at the league table, well, apart from that, Neil, yeah, when you look at the league table, we're 19th. I think that's actually an issue. I think you're right. If we were in the relegation zone, I think maybe it would be a bit more urgent.
Yeah, you shouldn't need it though. You shouldn't need to be in the relegation.
No, I agree. I completely agree. But it almost feels like we're clutching and hanging on to that fact that we are above the dotted line as we record. I mean, you know, Tuesday night, everything could change and we could probably, well, we can't be bottom, but, you know, we can be back in that relegation zone quite easily. I mean, at one point, weren't we 22nd on Saturday when we were losing?
Yeah. But also as well, not only that, is that we are up against I think probably the running is some of our toughest, if not the toughest running we've had the entire season. And it's the missed opportunity, isn't it? It's quite obvious now that, I mean, if we were to get 3 points from this running, we'd be lucky, I think.
I agree with you. Right? I genuinely do think that that's the last chance that we actually had of winning a game for the rest of the season. Unless, I don't give us a hope in hell of the five remaining teams.
Unless it goes a completely different way and we do start hammering teams, which isn't going to happen, I don't think. But I mean,
we've already scored about three goals all season. We're not going to hammer anyone.
No, that's what I mean.
One shot on target in like the last, what, three games. Each, I mean, apart from ignore the penalty, that's a, you know, well, you'd hope it's an obvious shot on target. But, you know,
sometimes.
Apart from that, we had one shot on target on Saturday. We had one shot on target the week before against Wimbledon. You know, it's just, it's terrible, really. Realistically, did we even get a shot on target against Hull?
I don't think we even made it into their half, did we?
Yeah, I was going to say. I think the only thing that can save us now is football being weird, which it can be quite a lot of the time. And so, like, weird things happen all the time. That's why I'm not, like, completely writing us off, because it's football and it's a odd game. Like, we could play a team that, you know, Posh could go down to seven men and we might stand a chance on Friday.
No, it gets pulled off at seven.
Point. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Cheers, Teach.
Having said that, though, they could. Was it Grimsby this week that two of their players had a full-on fight and both got sent off?
At half time.
Yeah. Stranger things could happen.
At least they showed a bit of fight and a bit of arsehole, though, didn't they? No, you didn't see any of our lot doing that.
But we do.
I don't know. Hang on a minute, though. I know we'll come on to this later, but that penalty was meant, wasn't it? So at least he showed what he wanted to do with that penalty, I think, old Hoskins. That was very well taken.
He absolutely was not well taken, by the way. He blasted it down the middle. It was.
Oh, no. It reminded me of Stuart Pearce at the Euro 96. Yeah. It's that redemption story of a few weeks ago.
Blasting a penalty low and down the middle is not well taken. Sorry, Jeffy, I've gone off at you. It's not well taken. It's It's the world's worst type of penalty you can take. It's the wimp's way out. It's the wimp's way out. It is, because you don't back yourself to put it in the corner. You don't back yourself. You think, oh, I'm just going to blast this down the middle and hope the keeper moves. I could do that.
I can do that.
Exactly. No, do not defend him.
Hang on, but equally.
Plenty of players have done it. Stuart, like that, yeah. That one that we spoke about, that I just spoke about, not
Stuart
we.
Stuart Pearce was a
that's, that's the only one. That's the only one not. Anyone ever remembers.
No, yeah, well.
It's a different kettle of fish. He's in the Euros.
Not anymore. It's not the only one we remember anymore, is it?
I'm not having it. That was not a well-taken penalty.
Hey, if Bayo took that penalty, you'd be lauding him.
Bayo wouldn't have done that. He'd have had the confidence to dink it into the top corner off the bar or something.
He'd have panaked it.
But then what would you have done? What would you have done to poor Sam if he tried to dink it and it went completely over the north stand?
Well, I'd have been apoplectic, obviously, but that's the football fan's right.
Poor old Sam.
No, not poor old Sam.
Rescues a point. He gets treated like this.
What the point?
Look, I've got no question that Sam Hoskins wants us to survive.
Oh God, nor do I.
He's putting it all there.
Yeah, of course
don't
he get, is.
You know, he really,
oh yeah. But, you can't question that they're trying. You don't dare suggest that they're not trying. Be careful.
I'm just. You weren't here last week, were you? This is pent up frustration from over a week ago, isn't it, Neil? I can tell that.
It is. Yeah, that comment riled me.
The thing is that. Look at, okay, you are right. Like, I don't really want to see any of our players getting into a fight at half-time or on the pitch or anything like that. But at least it would show a little bit of fight in them.
Let's be honest, Charles. It would be the world's worst fight. Nobody would throw a punch. Because we don't know how to attack. Right. They'd just, like, look at each other. Maybe say the odd names. Your hair's really
stare
bad.
Stare quite angrily.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Do that thing where what they used to do in the olden days, bite their thumb and pretend to throw it at them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or what they did in Friends when they clapped their fists together. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yes.
None of them, they haven't got much fight in them, have they? Let's be honest. They're trying. They're just not very good.
I really want a 22-man brawl on Friday just to prove you not wrong.
Storming on from the touchline, windmilling.
I'm not condoning it and I'm not encouraging it, but you guys...
Sam, I would never say a thing like that, Neil. Come on.
He wouldn't dare, would he? No, he wouldn't dare.
I've got visions, right? This is never going to happen, but just hear me out, right? If by some miracle on earth, I mean, the fact that our game's been moved is strange enough anyway. Obviously, we obviously know for reasons we know, but the fact that it's been moved, it makes it all a bit weird anyway, right? Can you imagine if we somehow nicked like a 95th minute winner and Samo was just like Liverpool style running up the touchline?
I'd expect him to
do
that.
So yeah, so would I.
If he doesn't, I'll be disappointed. I'll be more than disappointed. I'll send a very, very angrily worded disappointed email.
I know obviously it's not going to happen, but just like dreamland, like if it were to happen, I want to see the Anfield remake.
Neil and Jeffy, I asked Charles this the other day on the preview show, and I don't know if he heard it or not. I'm going to ask you the same thing. Right, 5 games to go. We either beat Posh and lose the other 4, or lose to Posh and win the other 4 and stay up.
That's like choosing between children. You can't do that.
I just did.
Oh,
So we beat Posh, but then we go down. Beat Posh, go down. Lose to Posh, win the other games.
Lose to Posh and stay up. Yeah, I'll take the boring option.
Yeah, you're going to have to, aren't you?
What, the stay-up option? Is that the boring option?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
The thing is it boring, though? Because after you've got over, you know, like, so we get battered on Friday, and then, you know, you've got just over 7 days, haven't you, then, before your next game, I think. I don't think we've got a Tuesday, or are we Tuesday nighting next week?
I think we might be, you know.
Yeah, okay, so we've got maybe like 4 days
before
the next game. So therefore, and then you go and win that game. You kind of forget about it then, don't you? You forget about the loss and then it becomes more like, oh, we've won.
The only problem we've got, which is a really valid point, is what you said, Charles, is that because our game's been moved, it ruins our entire weekends.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It will
so we're going to have a ruined weekend.
It ruins Neil's weekend because he was going out to play golf rather than watching the game.
No, I can't. I'm going to avoid it now. Although Mike Fuller's organising to watch it at the pub, isn't he? So...
careful, he'll put the Leeds game on.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, shit.
That's probably more entertaining, to be fair. I mean, I'm going to have earache off Sean whinging about it all weekend.
I don't know. I'd rather not think about next week's game, if I'm honest.
What, Friday?
Friday's game, yeah. Because we are going to get beat. I'm not being right. So,
of course we are. We're under no illusions.
Yeah. I was so angry watching that game on Saturday against Bristol Rovers.
You almost called an emergency pod.
I did.
Hang on. Can we just address that? Because
we had to calm Charles down.
Yeah, but Neil was the calm human.
I know.
Yeah, that's true. It was only because Neil was like, I'm not getting my Saturday night ruined anymore.
It was essentially that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But no, right. I mean, so because I was like that going, I don't want, because sometimes what happens is that I calm down considerably after, you know, all day Sunday and Saturday night goes past. And by the time we come to record, all of the, well, usually I've forgotten a great deal of what was actually annoying me, like apart from the results and, you know, bits and pieces. So I thought, right, I'll write down just a few things. And it is only like four things, but they're all about, you know, either players or the way we were. I've already mentioned a couple of them. Rovers wanting the game and wanting to win it more than we did, and not turning up before we went behind. Those were two of the things that I wrote down that I felt really angry about, and the fact that we only had one shot on target apart from the penalty. And then the other stuff is essentially all about individual players. And I'm sorry, Danny, but the first one is Joseph flipping Mills, that just can't do anything.
That corner was a bit outrageous, wasn't it? Bless him.
I know it was Danny that built him up when we signed him, rather than it being like the club or, you know, any other fans. It was just you, mate. But I expected so much more than what we get. Well, I mean, wasn't he Forest Green's top scorer?
But hang on a minute. Yeah. Hang on a minute, Charles, right? I honestly don't think we can go into individuals. There were some shocking errors on Saturday, individual errors. But we can't go into that territory, because genuinely, I honestly believe that we have an entire squad of players that are League Two players, and that's okay. Right, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a decent League Two player. The problem is we are in League One and they are not good enough at the moment. I don't think, yes, Mills had a bit of a shocking pass that went out for a corner. Jonathan Mitchell kicked it out a couple of times, but you can't.
Every time.
But you can't pick out those two players because there's 11 players on that pitch. Yeah, but we would sit here and I could reel off all 11 of them for doing something wrong on Saturday.
I will happily do that. Yeah, I've got no problem doing that. I'm not picking out people because they are the cause of, you know, the not winning the game on Saturday, although, to be honest, all of them are. You know, it's just, but the amount of time, you've mentioned the corner. There was also a point where he just basically ran it out of play on the far side of the pitch in front of the East Stand. Several times when he passed the ball to nobody. I mean, they were just basics. And then Mitchell's dead balls, because it wasn't just his goal kicks. Every time a free kick was given in our own half, I kept thinking, don't let Mitchell have it, because all he ever did was kick it into touch. And it wasn't like it was just going into touch. It was like the players aren't even bothering contesting for it because it's sailing over their heads. What are they doing in the week? Brady was talking about.
I think they've got a lot of choice with the goalkeeper situation, to be honest.
I mean, how is he a professional goalkeeper? Genuinely.
This is the thing, right? That Brady has talked about how he wants to coach players to make them better, make his goal kicking better.
It's getting worse.
Stop telling him to put it out towards, you know, the touchline, and tell him to aim down the middle, and maybe it'll then actually go out wide.
Do you remember Duncan Spedding?
How can we forget?
Who doesn't,
right? He could never keep the ball on the pitch. And Jonathan Mitchell is essentially the goalkeeper version of Duncan Spedding. Honestly, he's not, I don't understand, because usually with a goalkeeper, it's rare you get that they excel at everything, right? Usually there's that they're a bit ropey on crosses, but everything else is great. He's just a bit ropey at everything.
Hmm.
Like, yeah. He doesn't command his box. he can't really save shots, really. He saves the odd one, but the ones that you'd kind of expect him to save, because that's his job, and sometimes he's sort of just in the way. He can't really kick it. He can't catch it. He almost scored that wonderful own goal on Saturday when they hit the bar. We can't blame
I can blame him for the actual goal, though. I can blame him for the goal.
Yeah, you can. I just think he's honestly, I know a lot of people had such a problem with David Cornell.
But I'd take him back in a heartbeat.
He's a tier or two above Jonathan Mitchell. And that's not to say that Cornell didn't have his problems, but honest to God, what? Who signed Jonathan Mitchell? Was it Curl?
Must have been.
Oh, God. Hopefully he takes him to Oldham.
But I think the thing is, though, yeah, all right, fine. What you've said is valid, and, you know, we can't really argue it, as much as I don't like picking out individuals too much. I have done it in the past, but I don't like doing it too much. But we were sat 20 minutes ago whinging about we haven't scored a goal. So surely if our goalkeeper's going to come under that fire for conceding, we need to then look at what's happening up front, because that is equally as bad, if not actually worse.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Ryan Edmondson is one of the worst strikers I've ever seen play for us. He's atrocious. I don't know what he adds to the team. I'm sure he's a lovely guy, and I know he's had some off-the-field problems and stuff. So this isn't to attack him as a person or as a character, but as a footballer, he's fucking awful.
Do you know, it made me laugh, because in the Slack channel, patreon.com/cobblers to me, if you want to join that, in the Slack channel, Mike Fuller said, next season, Ryan Emerson wants to compete against the likes of Patrick Bamford at Leeds for a starting berth.
I just don't know what he brings. He can't finish. He can't edit. He doesn't really tear around that much unless someone shouts at him from the touchline to get running. Occasionally, he might be able to control it, but it's pretty rare. I just don't see. He's much like Jonathan Mitchell. He doesn't really excel at anything. So he's just a nothing player.
And it's the whole thing of, like, it's not just the front, you know, the forwards either. It's the whole attacking unit. So you've got to include the likes of Mills, and I know he wasn't playing, but Kyoso, you know, and then, you know, your midfielders. I just think that I think I saw a tweet that said that Sean McWilliams had carried us on Saturday. And while I don't necessarily disagree that he's not a good player, I just kind of went, he gives the ball away. Half the time when he's actually winning the ball back, it's because he's given the ball away in the first place.
I think he had a better game than he has had recently, I have to say, on Saturday.
I will say that I noticed him more, and he was like the engine of our team on Saturday. But then again, I know I'm about to get slated for this, probably, if not from you guys, then from people that are listening. But I thought Sam Hoskins in the first half was decent.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought it was decent.
He was the one that was actually trying to drive us forward and trying to attack. And, you know, like I've said it before, I don't think he's good enough. And I think he runs into cul-de-sacs too often. But at least he was giving it a go, and he was striving to get us attacking. It was just the fact that, you know, that to me was the only person on the pitch at that time that was really trying to get us going.
Chased his own pass one time.
He did.
Got it back as well, didn't he?
Yeah, it was just before Rose had that air shot, wasn't it?
I mean, there were a couple of times when you... I mean, actually, that's a perfect example of what you were saying, Jeffy. That Danny Rose air shot, you pay to score.
Absolutely.
At least kick it.
it was comical, wasn't it? I mean, to give him... He probably should have come off already by then, because he was injured, wasn't he? So, but even
he was like Bambi. He should have been off before. He should never have come back on. Yeah.
But even still, I reckon I would have been pretty confident of making some form of connection with the ball. I'm not saying I would have got it in.
I'd have scored.
But some form of connection with the ball, even if I was on crutches.
I think the problem with all of this is that there's no one that much better to come in.
No, so they're all crap. And that, there's no way you can dress it up in any way. Like, they're all crap.
We go and lose 3-0 to Hull, you'd expect a couple of changes, but we can't, because there's no one good enough to come in and replace them. And that's like, It's a major, major issue.
Question: would you start Alex Jones?
Well, I think that's where all three of us were going to say was that there's everybody's calling for it now.
He must be fit enough now, right? If he's not, well, we've
not
got a
not just him
training.
Actually. If when Marshall and Chucky and
Chuck Jones was good, wasn't he?
Like they just added a little bit more, kind of looked a bit more dynamic, a bit.
I've got a little rant about Chuck Wamika to actually mention in a minute.
Leave him alone.
I do agree.
I do agree with you.
Rhyming form, Charles.
Yes. Do it in a haiku.
Haiku, yeah.
I wish I was that talented. I wish I was that talented.
Like Dave Gorman. Have you seen Dave Gorman's show where he reads, if you haven't seen it, it's going to be a really boring anecdote, but it's where he reads comments like on the Daily Mail where readers have left comments.
Yes.
Can you do it that way?
No.
No.
Purely because I'm not that clever. But
I had confidence you could do it.
Thank you, mate. Let's just go back to the Alex Jones thing for now, because obviously I think Alex Jones himself appeared on the BBC Cobblers show a few weeks back. I think it was maybe after he'd scored against Charlton. I think it was that week. And he said himself that he wasn't fit enough to start games and that he wanted to basically come off the bench and be an impact sub. But I mean, we're talking, what are we, about a month on from that now?
How long does it take to get fit? Yeah.
Exactly. So, with all respect to those that are starting and Danny, you said, who do we change it for? Well, actually, I think you do try. We've not seen. This is what it comes down to for me is that actually we were playing for, when Brady first took over, we went to a 4-3-3/4-5-1 when we're out off the ball. Where's that gone?
Well, now we're playing 4-2-2-2-2-2-2.
Yeah. Why have we gone away from the thing that seemingly was working? Because don't forget, I know we lost the game, but MK Dons, we scored 3 goals. We then went and won a few games playing 4-3-3. But then all of a sudden, it was the injury to Miller, wasn't it? That's essentially meant that he's now discarded that formation.
No, because I think it's also the panic that we were conceding goals. So reverse.
But I think the four-man defence actually was sorted out. I know that we were conceding goals against, MK, that 4-3. That was a bit of a weird game, I think. It was that kind of like new manager bounce, gung-ho approach. And then they just forgot that they had to actually defend as well at the same time. But I mean, it came afterwards. I've actually got quite a bit of confidence in Horsfall and Lloyd Jones at the back. Lloyd Jones didn't have his best game on Saturday, I admit. But I just think that if we go back to 4-3-3, which was the thing that was working, I don't understand why we've gone away from that. I really don't. And that's frustrating me. Because I think that just because Miller's injured shouldn't stop you doing it. You can still play Marshall and Hoskins on your wings and then have Danny Rose through the middle and then bring on Jones, with 20 minutes to go if you're really chasing the game or you want to make sure that, you give Danny Rose a bit of a rest or whatever. Because he does go out there and basically leave everything out on the field.
The problem is we don't create much anyway. So it's...
But Alex Jones creates things on his own.
Yes, he does. Yeah, agreed. But we don't have any real creative plays ever, really, do we? It's not like we're creating loads of chances and missing loads of chances either. It's slowly but surely it's reverting back a little bit to how it was pre-Brady. I mean, it's not quite as bad as that, obviously. But in terms of chances made and how likely we look at scoring and stuff, it's slowly but surely edging back that way. And I mean, that just proves the point. But unfortunately, the players are just probably not good enough.
Would you start Alex Jones, Danny, on Friday night against Posh?
Yeah, I might as well. I'd probably start Chuck Wamika as well, to be honest.
Yes, Danny.
just like the both of them, when they come on, they've got something that makes them stand out. They've got a presence about them at least. And they've got something that worries defenders in a different way. Whereas Edmondson, Rose, they need to get onto the end of something. Whereas I think the way we're playing at the minute, we might as well put the big guys on because at least then it might stick up our end for a little bit. Stick that up your end. And then you could have Sam running in behind and causing the chaos and tomfoolery that he usually does.
Does it
as well. At this point, just, yeah, okay, of course he does. chase his own pass. At this point, I don't see the point of not trying it, to be honest.
No, I agree.
Just get him on. Like, Chuck Wamika is the kind of story that happens, isn't it? You just, like, throw him back in and he scores a goal in the derby and never to be seen again after that. Right?
I fully agree.
Just have a laugh with it. Come on.
Well, yeah, to a point. Like, there's no point in sort of limply dragging ourselves along to relegation slowly but surely, is there? We might as well try something and give it a go and stuff. And
do an Ivan Toney.
All our balls out. Actually, yeah. I said playing both, but the way we played at Hull, if we're going to get anything, we probably need to pack the midfield with about six players, so we probably can't play either of them. Let's play a 4-6-0.
Well, the good news is we've got about 10 midfielders that offer very little but are all good at being in midfield, so we should be all right.
Neil, what did you think of your performance?
I thought I did well, considering I've not played much.
I tell you what, that tackle in the penalty area.
Did you see my turn of pace?
Brilliant, it was. Whoosh! Goal saving.
It was, wasn't it?
There was no way that weren't going in either as well.
I was a little rusty. Sorry.
can I just have my little rant about Chuck Wamika? Is that all right?
Go for it.
Right. We're going to shut you down, but go on.
No, you can do. That's absolutely fine. But just, you know, it's actually nothing against him in terms of what he did in the game or anything like that. My little rant is that just before we started podding, I went on and had a quick look at our Twitter account and our feed. And one of the first things that pops up is Caleb Chukwuemeka's agents saying with a bit of a video of him with that little bit of trickery skill that he did on the halfway line when he came on, simply saying, nobody, 6'3" forwards don't have quick feet. Caleb Chukwuemeka, hold my drink. My rant is, right, is that he's a young man who, for all intents and purposes, every time that I see anything in regards to him online in with his social media, the impression that I get is essentially he's just touting himself out there as being, I'm better than this and I should be somewhere else. Now, okay, I've got no issue with anybody wanting to further their career. However, I don't care. Why am I seeing this?
Well, don't look at it.
He's in a relegation. It shouldn't be out there. It shouldn't be there. That my rant is that he needs to the reason why he's not getting picked, allegedly, is because he's not performing in training. That is essentially the way that I took what John Brady said last weekend when he was talking about how the fringe players aren't giving him enough in training. That's why he's not been getting on the pitch. That's why he hasn't had, you know, the contract or whatever it is that is people have been asking for, you know, to be given to him. At the end of the day, he's still in his contract. So therefore, that's it. Nobody's asking anybody for any other player to be given the contract. It's just him. Why is that there?
Well, we can't discount the fact that that might not be anything to do with him.
Well, I've seen it because he retweeted it. I don't follow his management. The pod account doesn't follow his management.
I just don't read into it.
What happened to the rest of our youngsters, by the way?
Scott Pollock's injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he's been dead for a
Morgan
long time,
Roberts.
Hasn't he?
Morgan Roberts.
He went on loan somewhere, didn't he?
Did he? Are they all out on loan, are they?
Well, he was on loan at Kettering, wasn't he, at one point? And then maybe sent Ives? I don't know. Somewhere around about
conference-ish
level. But it all got finished, didn't it?
Yeah.
Their seasons.
There was a crop of them, weren't there?
It was a crop.
Pushing. I quite like Morgan Roberts as well.
Yeah, I'm just
Ryan
thinking a bit weird.
Hughes had a bit of baptism of fire, didn't he, at Oxford City?
Well, he got released, didn't he, at the end of last season.
That's what
anyway,
I mean.
So,
yeah, like when we started having players like that, I think that game probably done it for him, didn't it?
Who was the other lad that was he a midfielder as well? The lad that broke his leg, was that Roberts?
No,
that wasn't Roberts.
Was Waller, Sean Waller
Whaler,
yeah.
Ethan
Johnston, he's knocking around, isn't he, still?
striker.
Yeah, it's
Daishi.
I mean, give him a bloody go.
Put him all in there.
But I know he's 12 or however old he is. But, I mean, he's obviously got no experience whatsoever. But there were some stats that someone on Twitter was throwing around about the amount of goal or the lack of goals we've scored is going to be a record breaking season, obviously. The amount of blanks we've had is a record breaking season, I think. Like, why would you not try something different? There is that sense of, what's that saying? The definitions of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, Einstein.
Different results. Yeah, whatever it was. And that's true, right? To a point. Like, it's not going to suddenly, like, bless, look, I know it feels like I'm picking on Ryan Edmondson, but that's because he's the one at the moment that's getting picked to play up front. So he's not going to suddenly turn into a superstar overnight or suddenly turn into start smashing goals in, is he? Try something different, mix it up. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Absolutely, completely agree with you. So tonight, as you're listening to this on Tuesday, there are some games, and it's basically all the teams have got games in hand on us that they're playing. So Wimbledon at home to Ipswich. I mean, the one hope here is that Wimbledon and Wigan have used up all their goals for the rest of the season, isn't it, at the weekend?
Well, the problem is we're reliant now, aren't we?
Like, we used all up ours up against Portsmouth.
yeah, more or less. In that 1 week where we scored six in Plymouth and Portsmouth. That was it. All done now. No more. So, Wimbledon are at home to Ipswich. Wigan are at home to Sunderland. I mean, you wouldn't expect Wigan to get anything out of that game on paper, would you? On paper, you wouldn't expect Wimbledon to get anything out of the Ipswich game, but Ipswich are, I don't know, they're not, would you say that they're in free fall? They've got Paul Cook in charge. I've not really looked to see how well they're doing.
They've had a rotten bit of luck, haven't they, with their management and everything that's gone on with COVID, bless them.
We'll have a couple of 0-0s in a row. They drew with Rochdale, so 0-0 last Monday. So.
I saw that he said he went in on the players a little bit as well.
Hey, Paul Cook?
Yeah.
Not like him, is it?
No, I know.
He's
in
mild mannered territory, isn't he?
I saw that he'd gone in on him a little bit and, said that some changes need to be made, but there's not much you can do at the moment and stuff. Interestingly, I saw Joey Barton said the same thing after the game on Saturday, didn't he?
Did he?
I think Joey Barton's on a tight, what's it called? What's the expression? On a bit of a tightrope.
Well, he said something along the lines of that essentially these mistakes can't keep happening. But there's nothing he can do about it until the summer, so we're just going to try and change it at the moment. But I can change the personnel in the summer or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know whether it'll last the summer, to be honest, because the Rovers fans are not happy, are they?
Joey Barton on a tightrope, coming soon to ITV4, by the way.
Brilliant. Would absolutely watch.
Yeah. The other game on Tuesday that has massive implications for us is, it's a six-pointer, Danny. Mm. Rochdale against Swindon.
I want Rochdale to win that. They're far enough behind, don't they?
Yeah, 30, so Rochdale have got 33 points. We've got 40. So let them have a win.
Let them have 3 points.
That'll close the gap to the, for them on Swindon. Swindon have got 37 points. So Rochdale will stay bottom in that case. But yeah, we want Swindon to not pick up any points at all, because otherwise it's getting too close, isn't it, really, with that. And then on Friday, this will be now. Have all the games been moved to Friday night, or is it just ours?
I think teams, as from what the EFL statement was, teams need to choose. The problem we have, and is what we and Peterborough have all come out and said, is that we're both playing on the Tuesday after, so we can't push it to later on the Saturday or on the Sunday, because obviously our players have got to play on the Tuesday as well.
And that's the case for all of them, isn't it, as well? Like, there's a whole, everyone's playing on Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's all, I think the majority will probably be Friday. But
talking of Swindon. Talking of Swindon, did you see one of the goals they conceded against Peterborough?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, my days. We thought we were bad. Wow.
Absolutely dreadful. If you've not seen it, do go and find it, because it's very bad. On Friday then, there is another six-pointer. AFC Wimbledon versus Swindon. It's not us. Not mentioning us.
That's definitely not a six-pointer, is it?
Goodness. No. AFC Wimbledon against Swindon. I mean, that's... Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. Do you therefore say that we don't want Swindon to win anymore? Or do you say you take a draw? Well, in that situation, we literally need
everyone to lose every game.
But they can't, can they? Wimbledon versus Swindon, that's impossible. Somebody has to call it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Problem solved.
Wigan against Crewe, Rochdale against Accrington, and Bristol Rovers against Lincoln are the other games that are happening this weekend. So, it's squeaky bum time, isn't it? To coin a Tim Oglethorpe phrase. Just to finish off, there was a couple of things, actually. First of all, a big shout out to Luke Thode and to Sarah Turner, who have organised a flag to be made in the memory of Lee Collins. They raised £200, no less, in less than a day on Saturday via Twitter and a Just Giving page. And it's a really big flag that they're having done that will be sent to the club and put up for, I think, at least the last game of the season. Home game, that is, obviously. And will then be available for fans to take to matches, hopefully from next season, once we're allowed back in. So, very well done. Nice gesture, I think, that.
It's a
well
brilliant
done for them.
Gesture, isn't it?
Great stuff, that.
Yeah, well done.
Absolutely. And also, I think we've already retweeted it, but there is a Just Giving or a crowdfunding, I don't know exactly which website it was, I can't remember, which is they're raising money for Lee's family, because obviously he did leave behind a family. So I think we've already retweeted it. If not, I will do it again and we will pop it out there. If you want to, if you're inclined to, then you can go and have a look and then you can give anything that you wish to for what I think is a very worthy cause on that front. Lastly, just before we came to record this podcast, Mark Cooper was sacked by Forest Green Rovers. Next season, back in League Two, would you take him?
No.
Get him out. Ridiculous, Charles.
He's an absolute
one of them, isn't it? No, he's one of those you don't want anywhere near it.
Yeah, he's a clown.
Thanks for listening to It's All Cobblers to Me this week. Hit the subscribe or follow button in your podcast app to never miss an episode. We will be back later in the week with a preview show for that game on Friday night. Whether we will have an opposition fan with us remains to be seen. So,
Alan Swan.
Alan Swanee.
Come on, Swanee. You know you want to.
Come on, Swanee. You want to do it. Come on. I dare you.
I would make myself available for that preview show.
We will see you then. Have a good week as best as you can. And up the Cobblers. Fuck the posh.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
A young, nervous man. A team tries to score once. Chuck? Maybe so.
I'm Tom Cliff, Cobblers fan and proud owner of Track NN and Cafe Track. Track NN is a social enterprise set up in 2018 to support autistic people to access employment through training, support services and creating opportunities. Research showed that just 16% of autistic adults were in full-time employment, and this is something which we are going to change. We opened our cafe on the Market Square in Northampton in January 2019 as a place where individuals could work and develop their employability skills and also be a place where people were free to be themselves. Since opening the cafe in January 2019, we have supported 36 people into paid employment and created over 75 work experience placements and visits for individuals. Since the coronavirus outbreak, we've not been able to open Cafe Track to its full capacity, and we've instead taken our offering online. You can help support us by buying coffee virtually at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Your money goes to helping us to continue to create opportunities for autistic adults to gain employment.